Like, before you take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to read this chapter tonight, and we're going to look at some things here that I hope will be a blessing and help to you. Notice how it starts. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return in me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to have in our hands the Word of God. We thank you for Holy Spirit of God, that you're there to teach us and to help us and to give us understanding. And so we ask and pray for that that tonight. We pray for that power, marvelous hand that you only can bring into a time such as this. We pray that you would be glorified through all that's said and done. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. There's an area that many Christians, not all, but many Christians avoid when it comes to Bible study, and that area is called prophecy. we like to fantasize with prophecy some, and we like to go to Book of Revelation, and we like to pick out some verses and say, man, that looks like a helicopter coming in with fire coming out of its wings or something, and we get all these kinds of crazy things and notions in our head. But it is a very difficult book, but yet it's a very simple book, but it's there. God wrote it for us. And so prophecy has some, I believe, some tremendous place in our lives. There are two types of prophecy. that which has been fulfilled, that which is future. That which we've already seen take place, and that which is going to take place. We find that most prophecy surrounds our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore it ought to be an awesome subject in our heart and minds, amen, as we think about who he is, what he has done, and what he is going to do. One of the great aspects of prophecy, I believe, is a greater hope in the midst of satanic circumstances. We're living some very scary days. We're living a time when our very republic is in some throes. It's dangerous times as we see some of the things taking place. We have now in our country literally millions of people who believe that socialism would be better than capitalism. And many of those are students. By the way, if you're a student, you believe in that, then next time you get an A, give your A to the guy that got an F, and then we'll be all straightened out. Amen? But we find this kind of thing going on today. We know, for instance, we know that Jesus can come at any time. Now, we get excited about that. We ought to. It's imminent. It's it's there. It can happen at any moment. It could happen before we leave tonight. It'd be good, I think some of you'd say, be good if I didn't have to go to work tomorrow. Some of you'd say, boy, it'd be good if Jesus came before the next snowstorm. You know, and so we look at things like that and we say, yes, even so come Lord Jesus. We also know from the Word of God that great judgment is going to come upon this world. And all those things that are upside down, they're going to be straightened out. All those things that are wrong are going to be made right. That which is evil is going to have judgment upon it. And God will be seen. God will be the one who's glorified through it all. We know that also from the Word of God, there is blessing when we read of these events. You only go three verses in the book of Revelation, you find these words. He says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. He says there's a blessing in reading it. I'm glad he didn't say that we have to completely understand it, but certainly we get blessing from reading it. We get a blessing from hearing it. God said that. In the last chapter of the book, in verse number 7, he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of prophecy of this book. He that guards those, he who has these and seeks for their protection. He says, blessed is he. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8 and verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. There's a blessing that God has for us. I didn't know my voice was quite this bad. I hadn't been talking all day. all of God's people said amen. We find that Isaiah has a whole lot to say about the coming Savior. You go to that chapter number 7 and verse number 14. we go to this many times about Christmas time. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Of course, we know that word Emmanuel means God with us. We find two chapters later in chapter 9, verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You go two more chapters, chapter 11, and it says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And of course, if we go back just a couple of chapters from where we're at in chapter 53, and notice what it says in verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Of course, we know from reading the book of Acts that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading that when Philip came aboard with him, and he led him to Christ as he was reading here in Isaiah 53. In chapter 55, we find that speaks of the Lord and is an invitation. It's an invitation to repent, to turn from sin to him. And I like the words that are used here in one of the verses, for an abundant pardon. Notice something with me. Chapter 55, you notice in verse number 1, he says, come, come. It's an invitation. Notice verse number 2. He says, hearken, hearken diligently unto me. Notice verse 3. He says, incline your ear. Notice verse 6. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And of course, verse number 7, let him return unto the Lord. And so God here is saying, hey, you come to me, turn from your sin and turn unto me. What a tremendous chapter. This is a prophetic chapter of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a prophecy that ought to be very dear to us as Gentiles because of what we're going to see here, if you haven't already seen it. Start with me in verse number 1. Notice what it says. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. I look at that, and it reminds me of John chapter 7, verse number 37. When the Lord is in Jerusalem, and they've just come from the well with the water, and it says in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. It gives me remembrance also of the woman at the well. It says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What we find here, we find he demonstrates that the way that we can obtain from him, it is priceless, it is all of grace. Aren't you glad of that? He's gracious. And it doesn't cost us anything. Now we might look at it and say, it doesn't cost us anything, but it always costs somebody something. If you give a gift, it costs you. Isn't that true? And so when God gave a gift, it cost him. It's priceless for us because we don't have to pay. Thank God for the marvelous, marvelous grace and mercy of God. Notice verse number 2. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We have people today that they're trying to satisfy an inner hunger. And so they do all sorts of things, trying to find satisfaction in their lives. Real satisfaction, by the way, doesn't come from the stuff you can buy. It comes from the provisions that God gives to us. Amen? It's what he gives to us. There's where satisfaction is at. Thank God for that. We ought to figure out that every car we've ever bought rusts away. Have you noticed? Every house we've ever had, things begin to rot and deteriorate. Isn't that true? All the stuff we have, it wears out after a while. But that which God gives us never wears out. The everlasting presence of God, the marvelous possession of prayer, the priceless grace that is constantly always there. Real satisfaction comes from the Lord's provision. Notice verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant unto you, even the sure mercies of David. Now consider first of all here, this covenant must be heard. That means we have a job to do. The covenant that God has made with us, we sometimes call it the New Testament, the New Covenant. That covenant is basically, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. But people don't know about that, and they didn't hear that. I think I told you recently I met with a Jewish man, and he told me, if you ask a Jew what he thinks of Christ, he'll just basically say, I don't think about him. They don't know anything about him. But when they can be presented with the facts of the Word of God and be shown, he says, many, 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 they turn to Christ. And there are many Jews who've come to know Christ. Matter of fact, we find that in Acts chapter number 2, don't we? Great possibility, great thing we find. But that covenant must be heard. Now we know that many people turn a deaf ear. And they miss out on the sure mercies of David.
Now, that's a remark that really is significant to the Jew, because God had a covenant with David. And that covenant was that basically that there would be a king that would come forth of him. And you and I have the marvelous privilege to know who that king is. We are well aware from the genealogy of Matthew that Jesus was born in a kingly family. Notice verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. I've given him for that. And you and I have this marvelous privilege of the Lord. Verse 5. He says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Here's where it gets exciting. A nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. This call that God is making goes beyond the Jew to the Gentiles, for which I am very grateful for. Amen. It didn't stop with the Jew only. The commission from God was going to all the world. And the disciples, they hung back from that, and God had to show them very vividly that they were to go to the Gentile world. And thank God we have that privilege. Verse 6, great verse. Seek ye the Lord when? While he may be found. I find that interesting. Call ye upon him, what? While he is near. Now here's an invitation, but I want us to notice something. There's a warning here. There's a time limit. There's a time limit. There's going to come a time when that invitation is no longer good. Of course, we know at death, there's no second chances. There comes a day, as we study the book of Revelation, when it is over. And I believe that you and I, as God's people, that ought to spur us to reach others for Christ, that they might seek him now while he is to be found. One of these days, he's not going to come back as a savior, but as a judge. And as he comes back and brings judgment to this world, it's not going to be a pretty scene. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He's talking about repentance. We must turn away from our own way to his way. And his mercy is sufficient for any man who will do so. By the way, here's the problem we find in so-called Christian today. And that is, a lot of people, we just say, you know, you just need to believe, but there's no turning from what they had. There's no repentance, there's no change of heart, there's no change of mind. They're not being saved from something, they're only being saved to something. And really, they're being saved to confusion. Because if we're going to get saved, we got to be saved from something. And so there has to be that repentance. And I believe he refers to that in that verse. Verse 8's a marvel verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. When I think about people who have wronged me, I don't think about being merciful. Do you? Only in the spirit can I have that kind of feeling. The old flesh says, let's get even. Let's get back at them. And you punch me, I punch you back. And hopefully hard enough you don't punch me the second time. That's kind of the way things work for us. And God says, hey, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not that way. Mercy's not the way of men. And it's really difficult for a lot of people to understand how the Lord thinks. We don't realize how gracious and merciful he is. And yet when we talk to some people about his grace and mercy, then they cannot see that he is a righteous judge as well. They can't put all that together. His ways are almost past finding out. And you and I need to be thankful we have a God that is much greater than us. Amen. Hey, have you ever had a time in your life when there was something about God you just couldn't explain? You ever had that? I have that quite often. Here's what's neat about it. It came to me several years ago. If I could explain everything about God, I'd probably be greater than him. And I can't, because he's so much greater. And so we find that verse there. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And notice the last three verses we'll deal with. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, aren't you glad that's there? And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now notice there's a colon there. He's given that as an illustration for what he's about to say. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He wants us to know that hearing his word has the same effect as the rain upon the earth. It has an effect. And for the person, especially the preacher of the gospel, is a tremendous promise and encouragement to know that his word will do its work. It's not up to me and my words, it's up to him and his words. My job is to simply try to make them known, try to explain them a little bit, and let God then take that and do something with it in your life and in my life. It will not return void. Put it in this context. If you talk to somebody about Jesus, it does have an effect. They may turn it down. It's either going to make them glad or mad. Most likely one or the other. But it's going to have an effect. It just has that. That's what he's saying here. It will not return void. And so make much of the word of God. Allow it to be used over and over. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for your marvelous grace, for who you are, what you show us in these verses. Bless in the remainder of this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.